Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
So good to see you this morning, Nations Church. It is an honor to be with you. You can go ahead and take your seats. As Pastor Gareth mentioned before, I have been here all week with your youth, your awesome youth. Some of them are in the service this morning. And we have had an amazing time at youth camp. God has really moved in such a powerful, powerful way. And part of my role, I'm an evangelist sent out of our church, and part of my role is to go around the world and preach at different camps and conferences. And no word of a lie, I don't think I've ever seen a youth ministry as hungry and passionate for the power and the presence of God anywhere that I've been. And I truly believe that God is raising up a generation to see revival in Perth here. And you should be so proud of your youth pastors, so proud of your youth. So can we give it up for Cade and the team and these guys? They are absolutely awesome. And it is such an honor to be ministering here all day today. I'm such a huge fan of your senior pastors, Pastors Ken and Chrissy Lee. Does anybody love Pastor Ken and Chrissy? They are just awesome, two of the kindest people I've ever met, and what they're leading here is just incredible. And also Pastor Gareth and Pastor Jess, aren't they awesome leaders as well? You guys are amazing. And thank you for serving this house so well and leading this house so well. So as Pastor Gareth mentioned before, my name is Layla Nahavandi. And I serve on the team at LifePoint Church in Adelaide, South Australia. I don't know if you've ever met our senior pastor, Pastor David Hall, but he is my senior pastor and boss, so please feel sorry for me. No, he's awesome. He is a comedian. He is a revivalist, and it is an honor to be on the team over there. I've been on the team for 12 years, serving in different pastoral capacities there. And I am also single and ready to mingle. So you can go ahead and tell your friends if you'd like to help me out. So that's all we need to talk about that. So I would love to share a message with you this morning called I'm Not From Here. I'm Not From Here. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. If you got it, say amen. Amen, amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior." Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 says this, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcome them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. But instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one, and therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Nations Church, could we just bow our heads in prayer just for one moment as we get into the word together today? Father God, I thank you for this incredible church here in Belmont. I thank you for Nations Church. I thank you for every person and every family who makes up this church. Lord God, we thank you that as we share around your word today, I know, God, that my words and my opinions can't change that much. But God, your word spoken into an atmosphere of faith can shift things, can change things in just one moment of time. And so, God, we ask you to come and speak in this place. Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you are the best looking person at Nations Church this morning. You are the best looking person in the room this morning. Some of you are like, amen, preach. Preach, sister. Awesome. My message this morning is called, I'm Not From Here. I'm not from here. And as we celebrate Australia Day today, as we celebrate what it means to be a citizen of Australia, I thought, what better day to celebrate what it means to be a citizen of heaven? Because how many know that we may be citizens of a great country here on earth, but above all, we are citizens of a heavenly country, and we have great rights and privileges and liberties that God has given us in Christ. We are citizens of heaven. We've taken this passage of scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. And if you've heard of the book of Hebrews, many say that we don't really know who the author of the book of Hebrews was. It was ultimately the Holy Spirit, but we don't know who the Holy Spirit used to write the book of Hebrews. Some say it was Paul, some say it was Apollos, some say it was different people at the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews. So we don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but what we do know is why the book of Hebrews was written and to whom the book of Hebrews was written. See, the book of Hebrews was written to a group of Jews in Jerusalem who had faced intense persecution. There were people who had gone through intense persecution, and that persecution had passed. It had subsided for a little while, but all of a sudden the persecution started up again, and these people were becoming weak in their faith. These people were turning back to their old ways, turning back to their old habits, falling away from the things of God for their future. And the book of Hebrews was written to encourage them in their faith. The book of Hebrews was written to this group of people to say, hey, don't go back to your old ways of thinking. Don't go back to your old ways, your old mindsets. Don't go back. Don't turn back. Don't look back, because what God has ahead of you is better than what's behind you. How many know that the Word of God can always build our faith, it can always encourage us, and it can always propel us forward into the life that God has for us? And so this book of Hebrews was written to encourage these people in their faith. And I believe this morning that God would want to encourage every one of us in our faith this morning. The Bible says that, you know, sometimes we could be walking through the valley. Maybe you're struggling to make it through the valley this morning. The Bible also says that maybe we can be on mountaintops. We can be praising God for the top of the mountain. Maybe you're on the top of the mountain this morning. Every single one of us can be encouraged and built up in our faith this morning for what God has for us. So we see that this book was written to encourage people in their faith. And in this chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, something incredibly awesome happens. It's sort of known as the Hall of Fame of Faith in the Bible, right? So the writer of Hebrews is sort of walking down this Hall of Fame of Faith, and he starts to point out these heroes of the faith from the Old Testament. And he says, hey, there's Abraham, and this is what God did through his life. And there's Moses, and this is what God did through his life. And there's Noah, and this is what God did in his life, and Gideon, and all these different heroes of the faith. And when we get to this passage of scripture that we've read this morning, it's like the writer of the book of Hebrews just sort of pauses on that Hall of Fame of Faith, and he sort of just looks around at all of these people, all of their stories, and he noticed that there's something that all of these people had in common. He looks at these people of great faith, and he says, all of these people knew that they were in this world, but they were not of this world. All of these people of great faith knew that they were looking for a heavenly country, that this place was not their resting place, that they were on their way to heaven. Every single one of them knew that they were a citizen of heaven. And so because they knew that this was not their final destination, they were able to live great lives of faith and impact and influence here on earth. He says they were citizens of heaven. They knew that they were citizens of heaven. When I meet people for the first time, as I said before, my name is Layla. And so usually when I meet people for the first time, a couple of quirky things happen. I don't know if you have a few like trigger things that happen when people meet you. But usually when I meet people for the first time, I say, hey, my name's Layla. And anybody over the age of about 40 years old will start singing me the Eric Clapton song, Layla, right? So they'll go, Layla, you got me on your knees, Layla, bit awkward. And so they'll start singing me the song, and I'll just be standing there sort of trying to participate. What do you do when someone you've never met before is singing a song to you, you know? So you're sort of like just going along with it. And then usually after that, People will sort of look at my face and my features and they'll consider my name and they'll sort of go, hey, like, where are you from? Where are you from? I don't know if there's any multicultural people in the house, but anyone from another country, it's a sort of a typical question that you'll get asked. Hey, where are you from, right? And that's always a difficult question for me to answer because I was born in England. So I'm usually like, oh, I was born in England. And they're like, England? And I'm like, I grew up in New Zealand, spent my childhood in New Zealand. They're like, New Zealand? I lived in Geelong as a teenager in Victoria. Go Cats. Any Cats supporters in the house? No one. All right, that's fine. That's fine. What if I had said Fremantle? Yeah, okay. What's the other one? West Coast. Yeah. Oh, amazing. So I'll sort of say Geelong and they'll be like, no, that's not right. And I'm like, okay, I'm failing the test on where I'm from. So then I'll sort of say, oh, I live in Adelaide. I've lived in Adelaide for 12 years. And they're like, Adelaide? And then I'll sort of go, oh, my dad is Persian and my mum is Irish. And they'll be like, oh, okay, Persian, that makes sense. And, you know, I've finally passed the test on where I'm from. And usually what they're saying is, when they look at me and they ask me that question, what they're saying is, hey, the way that you look and the name that you carry and the features that you have and the characteristics of your life, they're not really typical of this place. Therefore, I can tell that you come from somewhere else. And Nations Church, I pray that everywhere we go, as we walk out into our workplaces, our families, our non-Christian environments, I pray that everywhere that we go, people would see something about us. And they would say, hey, the love that you have, the peace that you carry, the name that you carry, there's something different about you that's not typical of this place. Therefore, you must be from somewhere else. You know, C.S. Lewis gave us this beautiful quote that says, if I find in myself desires that nothing in this world can satisfy, then I can only conclude that I was not made for this world. I was not made for this world. And this morning, I would love on Australia Day, I've seen a number of people who have flags in their hair. This lady over here and this lady down the back. Can we just give it up for the flag ladies? The flag ladies in the house, very patriotic. But as we're celebrating Australia Day and we're celebrating what it means to be a citizen of Australia, what it means to be someone who is privileged to be an Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. Let's celebrate this morning and let's come around the Word of God and celebrate what it means to be a citizen of heaven. So the first thing that characterizes us as a citizen of heaven this morning is that as citizens of heaven, we actually come from a new bloodline. We come from a new bloodline. Now, I don't know if anyone follows the royal family, but the royal family had a little boy named Prince George who was born in England, and he was born in the year 2013. And experts tell us that if he simply outlives his father, his grandfather, and his great-grandmother, then little Prince George will be the king of England one day. All right, so little Prince George is going to be the king of England one day. And how many know that the odds are sort of in his favor to be king? He is just probably going to be king of England. And as far as I know, like little Prince George has never done anything to earn him the right to be king of England, right? He's never led his nation into battle. He's never given his nation great advice, great kingly advice. He's done nothing to earn his position or title as King of England. All he's done is be born into the royal family. And you know what? In the same way, the Bible tells us that when we got born again, when we received the blood of Jesus Christ that washed away our sins, we were born into the bloodline of Christ. That we are part of a royal family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That we have been born into a new bloodline, the bloodline of Christ. And so we have a royal family and a great inheritance in God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him." So as citizens of heaven, we come from a new bloodline, the bloodline of Jesus Christ. The second thing that we have as citizens of heaven is that we carry a new name. We carry the name of Jesus. Now, my mum is Irish, and so I know a lot about Irish names. So I know that, you know, if you met someone named Fergus McGrath or Patrick O'Toole, that they're probably somewhere from Ireland, like, right? They've got some sort of history from Ireland. People from certain cultures carry particular names, right? They carry particular names. And in the same way, as citizens of heaven, we carry a name that's distinctive to us. Names give us authority. Names give us access. Names identify us. And we have a name that is above every other name. The Bible says that we have been given the name of Jesus. We have been given a name that is above every other name. The name that is above cancer. The name that is above poverty. The name that is above lack. The name that is above anything, any challenge that we're going through. This name is the name above every other name. And the Bible says that whatever we ask in his name, in John chapter 14, whatever we ask in his name, I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Mark 16 verse 17 says this, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name," Jesus says, "in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Nations Church, this morning, can I encourage every one of us that everything that we need this morning is found in the name of Jesus. Everything we need is found in his name. All hope is in his name. All peace is in his name. All love is in his name. Everything we need is found in the name of Jesus. The third thing that we have as citizens of heaven is we live by the laws of the kingdom of heaven. We live by the laws of the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean that we break the laws of Perth. You can't sort of like leave this morning and go, "Hey, I was just in church. They told me I live by the laws of the kingdom of heaven." You know, you're going to get arrested. You're going to go to jail probably. So don't do that. But we live according to the laws of the kingdom of heaven, the laws of the kingdom of heaven. And I did some research on the High Court of Australia. And what I discovered was this quote that says, "Most of the court's work relates to hearing of appeals against the decisions of other courts. There is no automatic right to have an appeal heard by the High Court, and parties who wish to appeal must persuade the court in a preliminary hearing that there are special reasons to cause an appeal to be heard. Decisions of the High Court on appeals are final. There are no further appeals once a matter has been decided by the High Court and the decision is binding on all other courts throughout Australia." And you know what? When we live according to the laws of the kingdom of heaven, when we live according to the law of God, the Bible tells us that this is a law that reigns supreme over any other law that we are subject to. His judgments and his rulings are final. Do you know what? I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what rulings have been made over your life or what judgments have been spoken over your life. I don't know if you've been told that you're never going to be able to acquire property or that you're going to always have this sickness or, you know, this is always going to be your lot in life. I don't know what judgments and rulings have been spoken over your life and your future and your destiny. But what I do know is that you can appeal to the High Court of Heaven because the Bible says he always hears us. And when we pray to him, he hears us. And we can appeal to his law and his word, which reigns over every other judgment and every other ruling that has been spoken over our lives. And we can say by the word of God and by the law of God, I declare this to be true over my life. His decisions and His word is binding over every judgment and every ruling that has been spoken over our lives. We live according to the laws of the kingdom of heaven. The fourth thing that we have as citizens of heaven is that we have been given a new language and our lives speak with a distinctive accent. We have been given a new language and our lives speak with a distinctive accent. We speak in a different language as Pentecostals. I'm from one of the most Pentecostal churches in Australia. If you know my senior pastor, Pastor Dave, we're part of the ACC, but very, very Pentecostal. And so we love speaking in tongues. We believe in speaking in tongues. Does anybody believe in speaking in tongues, the power of speaking in tongues in this place? We have been given a language from heaven, the Bible says. We've been given this language of the Holy Spirit. And it's a language that we don't have to learn. See, I didn't have to sit down and someone say to me, now, Layla, hello, how are you? If you want to say hello, how are you to God and the Holy Spirit, you need to say, Riki Baba, Shindi Rababasu. Nobody said that to me, all right? Nobody sat down with me and tried to teach me how to speak in tongues. It was a language that is given as a gift from heaven. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4, when we speak in tongues, we are strengthened personally. God wants this language to strengthen you. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray the perfect will of God when we don't know what to pray. When we pray in that language, we can pray the perfect will of God over our circumstances, over our finances, over our families, over our future. We start to pray the perfect will of God into existence over our circumstances. This is what the language of heaven, the Holy Spirit, does, to speak in tongues. But we also have a distinct accent. We have a distinct accent. Our lives speak with a sound of heaven. Our lives speak with the accent of heaven. You know, I mentioned before how I grew up in a family where my mum is Irish and my dad is Iranian, and they both grew up in those nations, and so they both have quite distinct accents. But growing up in my parents' house, I didn't notice the accent that they had. They just sounded like my parents, right? And so sometimes after school, my friends would come over to my house and we'd sort of just sit and be doing things. We'd be playing and we'd be hanging out. My mum would walk in and sort of ask my friends if they wanted something to eat. And they'd sort of look at her with a confused look on their face. And their mum would sort of leave the room. And my friends would turn to me and they'd be like, Layla. I'm like, yeah? And they're like, how do you understand a word that your mum is saying? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, she has such a thick Irish accent. I'm like, what do you mean an Irish accent? Like, I've never heard that accent before. And I turn around to my mum, I'm like, Mum, do you have an Irish accent? And she's like, fiddly-dee potatoes, you know? I'm like, I can't hear it. I don't know what they're talking about. Mum just sounded like my mum. I never heard the accent that she carried. But whenever anybody came in from another environment who hadn't heard that sound or wasn't familiar with that sound, they could tell that there was something different about the way that she sounded. And you know what? In the same way, if we've grown up in church or we've been around church and church life and around this church community for quite a while, sometimes the sound and the accent that our lives carry can become common or familiar to us. But I guarantee you that when you walk out into your workplace, into your unsafe family, when you go out into the shops, people can hear the sound of heaven surrounding your life, this sound of love, this sound of hope, this sound of peace that your life carries. It's the accent of heaven because we are citizens of heaven. The fifth and final thing, maybe if the worship team could join me, that we have as citizens of heaven is we have spiritual food that God has given us to eat. We have spiritual food and drink that God has given us to eat. You know, certain cultures have their own cuisines. You know, I love all the different cultures. I grew up with a Persian father, so we had a lot of Persian food in my house. I don't know what sort of cuisines you've sort of grown up with, but different cultures and nations have their own particular cuisines. And in the same way as citizens of heaven, we have been given food to eat and drink to drink that Jesus has given us to satisfy our soul. This food is soul food. This food is soul food to satisfy our hunger and our thirst, our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst. John chapter 6 and verse 35 says, "And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst again.'" Talking about a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. John chapter 6 and verse 53, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you." Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Nations Church, this morning, we don't have to walk out of this building spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty. The Bible says that our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst can be forever satisfied in the bread of life and the water that He pours out upon our soul that refreshes us, that quenches our thirst. We don't have to turn to anything else. All we have to turn to is our Savior to be spiritually satisfied this morning. Do you know, as citizens of Australia, we have been given incredible rights and privileges and liberties. It is a great privilege for us to live as citizens of Australia. And there are many nations around the world that probably don't have the same rights and privileges as we have. They don't have the same freedoms that we have. America has some great freedoms and great privileges. They had a Bill of Rights that was introduced to the first United States Congress in the 1780s. And it was introduced by a president, the fourth president, and his name was James Madison. And this Bill of Rights, it came into effect in 1791. And it stated the rights that these Americans had simply because they were American citizens. These privileges and these liberties that they had because they were American citizens. And you know, I've been to America a number of times. I love Americans. I like watching TV shows where, you know, Americans are on the shows. And I've sort of picked up this idea over a number of years that ever since 1791, when this Bill of Rights came into effect, I've sort of picked up that Americans know their rights and they know their privileges and they know their liberties, right? It seems to me that when you watch a show on Netflix or, you know, when you see it happening in the streets in America, if anybody tries to infringe upon an American's rights, they just stop and they're like, "No, excuse me. Excuse me, according to my Fifth Amendment right, I have freedom of assembly, and so you have no right to infringe upon my rights today, okay? So you can just back off right now, okay? Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye." You know, they're like, they will not let anybody infringe upon their rights. They will not let anyone take away what's rightfully theirs. They know their rights. Do you know what? In the Bible, it says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and life to the full." But sometimes I feel as Christians, when the enemy comes and he tries to infringe upon our rights, the things that Jesus has purchased for us on the cross, the new life that he has given us and he has freely given to us, sometimes we can allow the enemy to infringe upon our rights. We can let him take away our health, take away our freedom, take away our future. We can let him take away our finances, take away the freedom that our family has, take away the things that God has rightfully given us. And instead of stepping forward and saying, "Hey, no, devil," just like those Americans, "you have no right to infringe upon my financial situation. You have no right to take away the salvation of my children. You have no right to take away my health or my freedom or my hope for the future." Instead of that, we can sort of shrink back and just sort of learn to live with whatever our circumstances or our situation sort of dictate to us. But I was thinking about this and I was thinking, hey, what would it look like if every time the enemy tried to infringe upon a certain area of my life that I know the Bible says I can have something different? What if every time the enemy tried to infringe upon my rights, I could stand up, stand on the word of God and say, no, devil, this is my bill of rights. This is what God has said about my life and my future and my family and my finances. What would it look like? And this is just scratching the surface. But I think if we had a Christian's bill of rights, I think it would go a little something like this. I am God's possession, His child, His workmanship, His friend, temple, co-laborer, witness, soldier, ambassador, and building. I am able to do all things because He strengthens me. I am a minister and an instrument. I am His chosen, His beloved, His jewel, His heritage. I have been chosen before the foundation of the world. I have been predestined to be like Jesus. I have been washed by His blood, given a sound mind, given the Holy Spirit, and accepted into God's family. I have been given great and precious promises in His word. I have the ministry of reconciliation. I have authority over the enemy. I have been sanctified. I am fit for the Master's use. I am loved eternally. I'm kept from falling. I am kept by His very power. I am not condemned. I am one with the Lord. I am quickened by His mighty power. I am seated in heavenly places. I am a candle in a dark place, a city on a hill, the salt of the earth. I am born again. I am filled with His power. I have a home in heaven, all things in Christ. I have access to my Father. I have a living hope, an anchor for my soul, a hope steadfast. I have authority to tread upon the enemy. I have the tongue of the learned and the mind of Christ. I have faith like a mustard seed. I can come boldly to His throne room. I can defeat and overcome the enemy. The only things that I cannot do in Christ are to be separated from God, to be moved or taken out of my Father's hand, to be charged or accused or be condemned. I am a citizen of heaven, and this is my bill of rights. Can we give God a shout of praise for everything that Jesus has purchased for us, everything that He has done for us, that we can live life and life to the full because of the sacrifice that He made this morning? Nations Church, can we bow our heads and close our eyes? In this moment, you know, I've been sharing this morning about what it means to be a citizen of heaven. I've been sharing this morning about all the rights and the privileges and the liberties that we have inherited simply because we have been washed by the blood of Jesus. We have received the free gift of salvation and we have become citizens of heaven. But there might be people who are sitting in this room today. You would say, Layla, I am not a citizen of heaven. Layla, I don't know what it is to have my sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. If I was to be honest this morning, if I was to walk out of those doors today, I don't know if I was to be hit by a car or something devastating happened to me. I don't know whether I would end up in heaven or I would end up in hell. Do you know this morning the Bible tells us that every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? That means that not one of us is good enough to get into heaven by ourselves. That not one person sitting in this room today has lived a good enough life to get into heaven on their own merit. And so if you feel like an imperfect person, you're in good company because not one of us is perfect this morning. But one thing that we have in common as Christians is that a perfect Savior made a perfect sacrifice for us 2,000 years ago when He hung and He bled and He died on a cross and He gave His life in our place so that by His merit we would be accepted into the family of God. We would be accepted into heaven and we would be welcomed as citizens of heaven here on earth and in the hereafter. If you're in this room this morning and you would say, Layla, I don't know what it is to have my sins washed away. I want to make sure I walk out of this room this morning as a citizen of heaven. I want to come to Jesus. I want to give my life to Him. I want to know what it is to have Him be the Lord of my life, wash away my sins and live in relationship with Him as a citizen of heaven. Then just on the count of three, I'm going to invite you to lift up your hand with every head bowed and every eye closed. No one's looking around. I'm going to invite you just to lift up your hand and we are going to pray a prayer with you. It's like a citizenship prayer to welcome you in to the family of God this morning. One, two, three. If that's you in this place this morning, awesome. I see those hands. Awesome. I see those hands. Anybody else? Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. I see that hand down the back there. Congratulations, sir. Anybody else in this room this morning? I see these hands over here. Anybody else? You want to know what is awesome? Congratulations, sir. Best decision you'll ever make. Give your life to Jesus. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Church, can we just bow our heads and pray? And can we pray this prayer after me? And if you're praying this prayer for the first time, I encourage you to just pray this prayer from your heart directly to God, because He hears you this morning. And He's listening to your prayer. And if you're a Christian in this room this morning, why don't you join with us praying with our new brothers and sisters in Christ this morning? Let's pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I thank you for dying on a cross to save me from my sin and everything I've ever done wrong. Jesus, I thank you for making a way for me to live a new life in you. Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me to live for you as a child of God. And thank you for helping me to live in the abundant life and freedom that Jesus purchased for me on the cross. I am a child of God, a citizen of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give it up for all these people? Congratulations. 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 It's the best decision that you will ever make. And some of the team here at Nations Church, they were just watching in the prayer time just to see people who have responded, and they would love to come and chat with you after the service just to talk about that fantastic decision that you've made and help you on your journey with God this morning. Church, can we just stand to our feet?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.